Good afternoon. It's 5:06 and 75 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Shamari Mosley.
The district has been, it's just overwhelmingly high numbers.
Local health officials are being overwhelmed with positive COVID cases.
State officials are begging residents not to take medical advice from social media.
The upcoming flu season may mean a twindemic is on the way.
Some area hospitals have suspended elective surgeries.
Kentucky lawmakers are preparing for a special session.
In sports, Round County volleyball will hit the road tomorrow.
Bud Luke has a stock report.
Mostly clear skies tonight with a low around 58. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
Health officials are becoming overrun with COVID positive patients, so much so that the National Guard arrived Tuesday in Moorhead to assist at St. Clair Healthcare. Rowan County has nearly 47% vaccine participation rate, a number that could increase since the Pfizer vaccine received full FDA approval. Judge Executive Harry Clark says health workers are so busy, he stopped asking for detailed daily information.
I can do it on a case-by-case basis. I can pick a day of the week and say, okay, give me the ages today, so let me take a snapshot of where we're at today. But I probably won't do that because they are very, very busy. If you look at the, you know, our district tracks it all, but I have been the only one they've been providing ages and vaccines, whether they've been vaccinated or not vaccinated.
Rowan County has seen 78 new positive cases in the last 4 days.
Governor Andy Beshear is warning Kentuckians not to take an antiparasitic drug touted as an alternative COVID-19 treatment. The governor paused during a briefing Monday to address usage of the drug, often formulated to treat cows and horses. Ivermectin hasn't been approved by the FDA as a medication for COVID-19 patients, but it's become a trending topic among those reluctant or hostile towards the vaccines. Beshear didn't cite any specific cases of misuse of the drug in Kentucky, but cautioned anyone considering it to think twice.
Every doctor in America is saying, please get vaccinated. And somebody on Facebook says to take a deworming medication and people run out to do it. That's scary. And please, God, don't do that.
This week, an Ohio judge ordered a Cincinnati hospital to administer the drug to a COVID patient in the ICU at the request of his wife, who filed a lawsuit seeking the unapproven treatment for her husband. The FDA has said taking larger doses of ivermectin is dangerous and can cause serious harm.
During the pandemic, safety measures like masking, social distancing, and lockdowns caused last year's flu season to be the mildest on record. Experts say it's proof that masks work, but warnings from health experts say a twindemic might be on the way. Dr. Jeff Graves from U of L Health tells WYMT a twindemic is when the flu and COVID-19 cases simultaneously rise and overwhelm hospitals.
The one thing we do know, any flu is going to stress us more so than just the basic COVID pandemic is stressing us already. We're thinking probably October we're going to see a peak. We're hoping that it will be a sharp peak and a rapid decline because of how swiftly, how easily transmissible COVID is moving through the population.
Graves says people should get a flu vaccine before viruses begin spreading. According to the CDC, people no longer need to wait 14 days between vaccinations. If necessary, individuals may get a flu and COVID shot at the same time.
Kentucky hospitals are overwhelmed by the amount of COVID-19 patients being treated. Pikeville Medical Center currently has 82 patients hospitalized for COVID-19-related complications, and 16 of those patients in the ICU. PMC has to put a hold on elective surgeries. Dr. Al LaCrosse is an infectious disease specialist with Pikeville Medical Center. He tells WYMT, reaching herd immunity through vaccination is one way we can lessen the impact of COVID-19.
Here, it's about us to pick the choice. The choice will be either vaccination or natural infection, and this is way safer and more effective to get it through vaccination compared to natural infection.
Across says in order to reach herd immunity, a vaccination rate of at least 70% must be met. Dr. Alacross added the booster shots will be very beneficial for older individuals, as well as those working on the front lines of the virus.
With a special legislative session on COVID-19 policy potentially beginning as early as next week, Kentucky lawmakers are already laying the groundwork with a series of committee meetings. Republican leaders say there's room for compromise with the Democratic governor on pandemic-related issues like price gouging prohibitions, emergency pharmacy refills, and extending medical licensures for out-of-state health workers. But on the larger, more controversial questions, Senate President Pro Tem David Givens tells KET there's little interest in blanket statewide orders, including universal masking.
I don't think you're going to see the General Assembly excited about mandating for or against lots of things. Mm-hmm. You're going to see us drive it to local control. And I feel very strongly that a number of schools will continue to mandate masks in their schools. Others may not.
While Republicans see that approach as a more balanced one, able to accommodate the desires of individual districts, critics fear it will produce a patchwork of COVID-19 rules in a time when a more unified response may be necessary to curb aggressive spread of the virus. Here's top Senate Democrat Morgan McGarvey, also on KET.
It's good to have the policymakers in the room and have their voices at the table. But this, at the end of the day, does require executive action and executive leadership. And so I would like to see the legislature give the governor the ability to have a mask mandate.
Those arguments will likely come to a head soon. It remains to be seen how quickly lawmakers can reach a consensus on COVID policies. Kentucky House Speaker David Meade said he thinks the legislature can accomplish the task in a typical 5-day time frame of a special session.
A Kentucky festival is requiring proof of vaccination for those attending. WMKY's Alyssa White has the story.
The Lexington Pride Festival is requiring attendees to be vaccinated or provide proof of a negative COVID-19 test. The policy is in place for all guests, staff, vendors, sponsors, and volunteers. According to the LEX 18, the Pride Community Services Organization has put careful consideration into the decision and want health and safety to remain the top priority. They plan to have specific entry points around the plaza to check for proof of vaccination or negative test results. Unvaccinated guests will be required to wear masks. The venue will have multiple hand sanitizing stations and a cleaning crew to keep high-touch areas sanitized throughout the day. The event is scheduled for September 25th. Protocols are subject to change in accordance with state and local guidelines. The most up-to-date information can be found at the Lexington Pride Festival website. For WMKY News, I'm Melissa White.
Giovanni's Pizza in Moorhead held a ribbon-cutting ceremony today. The restaurant opened in June after a year-long curation process. Restaurant employees, county officials, and members of the Moorhead Round County Chamber of Commerce were among those in attendance at the ceremony. Skip Hawley co-owns the location with Dwayne James. Hawley says today it was an exciting day for the business, and the community support has been immense.
It's just been overwhelming to us because I'm a lifelong resident here. Dwayne went to college here in the 70s, so we've lived here all our life, and we have many, many friends. And with the community has supported us, the university has supported us, the county, it's been great. We're truly blessed to be here.
Giovanni's is open every day at 11 a.m. and offers a 10% discount for MSU students. More information and promotions can be found online at giovannispizzapower.com. We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for programming on Moorhead State Public Radio comes from Kentucky Utilities, offering residents and businesses the opportunity to support 100% renewable energy. The KU Renewable Choice Calculator can create customized solutions for both residents and businesses. You can learn more about the KU Renewable Choice Calculator online at lge-ku.com/calculator.
A few weeks into the new school year and rising COVID cases are causing schools to shut down again. Following the closure of Letcher and Lee County schools, health leaders say superintendents are following the right steps. Scott Lockard is the director of Kentucky River District Health Department. He tells WYMT the legislature wants more local decisions to be made, and that is why they have taken a pause.
They have assessed the situation. They have seen that they have widespread transmission. They have trouble having enough staff to keep the school doors open. So they're taking a step back and taking a pause.
Lockard says even though students are home, now is the time to be vigilant. He says sick children should be tested and kept at home.
Slide damage blocked Kentucky 59 south of the AA highway intersection at Vanceburg this morning. Highway employees are bringing in heavy equipment to remove mud and rockslide debris from the road. Until crew members see the damage from the slide, the road will remain closed. Alan Blair is the information officer at Kentucky Transportation Cabinet District 9. He says they've not seen any other road damages in the county, but their team will be monitoring the situation for the rest of the week.
We do have excavators on route to try to remove all the debris. And if the road is not damaged and the slide is stable, we should be able to, or hope to be able to, reopen the road.
Motorists should detour using Kentucky 344 or 989 or other routes to connect to the AA highway.
Taking a look at the weather for the WMKY listening area, including the cities of Flemingsburg, Mount Sterling, and Ashland, the weather for tonight is mostly clear with a low around 58.
On our feature segment today, the American Red Cross Kentucky region is looking for volunteers to help with disaster relief. WMKY's Sarah Mead has the story.
Over the next few weeks, the organization will host a disaster relief training class. The course, entitled Heroes Needed, is designed for beginners with no previous Red Cross disaster training, offering skills for ones that wish to become a disaster responder or assist in disaster relief. Lori Medley is the regional officer for the Louisville chapter. She says volunteers can also help out in the local region.
We are looking for people here in this area to help, and these volunteers can help when the neighbor down the street experiences a house fire. That volunteer would be there along with the fire department. Fire department's, of course, going to be focusing on getting the fire out, and we're focusing on the family. Do they have a place to go that night? Do they have clothing? Do they have the medicines they need? What type of resources do they need to help put their life back together?
Volunteers who go through Red Cross training will be able to assist with long-term recovery planning for individuals and families affected by disasters.
It makes a huge difference if folks are local and can help from the beginning of when that incident occurs. Yes, Red Cross will be here when there is a major disaster, but the real core of the work starts with the local people. So we are an organization that's neighbors helping neighbors, whether it's here or around the world.
For volunteers who wish to stay local, Medley says ARC will teach preparedness education, most commonly to home fires people are experiencing.
We don't have any volunteers in this area. That's why we're really focusing, because we know that folks in this area are not getting the help that they need and deserve, and obviously no cost to it. We provide all the training, and it's up to the individual to tell us how it fits into their life. We want it to be part of how they get a sense of fulfillment from helping their neighbors.
Due to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, Medley says it has been difficult to deploy trained disaster volunteers.
Everybody's pulled in so many different directions right now, and especially with the pandemic, but we're working very hard to make sure that people feel safe in doing the work that they're doing. We're following all the proper guidelines to make that happen, but the fact remains, disasters still happen, and we have to be out there making sure that folks are getting the help that they need. So we just have to adapt.
The main goal is to keep people safe during the pandemic while still adhering to the mission statement.
We're all facing it. You know, this pandemic has affected every single person in the world in some way, shape, or form. We're trying just very hard to be creative and adaptable and follow the safest procedures possible in mission delivery.
Training sessions are available online or in person August 31st, September 8th and 9th, and September 11th. To register or for more information, visit redcross.org. For WMKY News, I'm Sarah Mead reporting.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, offering paper and document shredding services for Moorhead and Rowan County residents, community groups, businesses, and industry. Secure, confidential, and HIPAA compliant, drop off or pick up by appointment at 784-1250. Located near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center, keeping the environment clean and green. 784-1250. Facebook and online at moorheadrecycling.org.
It's 75 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Shamari Mosley and Rachel Turner, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Keneally Roberts has a look at sports coming up, but first, I want to say thank you. We're so glad that you can spend time with us in the middle of your work week.
Viking volleyball will hit the road tomorrow. For WMKY Sports, I'm Keneally Roberts. As the team looks to get back to regional play this week, Rowan County Senior High School volleyball has already faced some major tests this season. Due to some COVID-related cancellations from other teams, the Vikings' first competition this year was at the Bluegrass Invitational, a tournament known for attracting top 25 teams. Rowan went 1-for-4 at the event, but Coach Stephen Walters says that looks worse on paper than what it truly is. He says his girls faced Henry Clay, Scott, Tates Creek, Logan County, and Shelby County,
which are all traditionally very solid, if not top-notch teams. And we were able to, we lost to Henry Clay in 3. We lost to Scott High in 3. We were able to beat Shelby County, and we hung in there in our other matches.
Rowan will be on the road when they hit the court tomorrow. They'll be facing Boyd County at 7 o'clock. The Rowan County Senior High School football team has a split record so far this season. Facing the Carter County teams, the Vikings picked up a win over West Carter 23-21, but fell the next week to East Carter 28-8. Coach Kelly Ford says it's early in the season, and he's expecting good things out of his squad this season. Ford says there's some age on the team, including 2 seniors who were able to remain this season thanks to Senate Bill 128.
Cole Wallace and Arian Brown, which was 2 major contributors of last year's district championship team. So it was good. Those guys got opportunity to come back so they could further their education to get where they need to be for college.
Rowan is set to host their first home game of the season on Friday. Kickoff against Raceland is set for 7 o'clock. Moorhead State's volleyball team is packed with experience this year, bringing some high hopes for the season. The Eagles are preparing to host their first home games of the year during the Eagle Challenge on Friday and Saturday. The team currently holds a 1-2 record after facing some heavy competition in the Classic City Clash in Georgia over the weekend. But with things moving back to the home court, Associate Head Coach Kirsten Becker-McBride says it should give her returning players a chance to shine.
We return all but 2 players. We graduated Lauren Roke, who was a 4-year starting outside for us, and then we also graduated Liz Allen, who played on the right side for us. But we got the addition of a defensive specialist from Indiana, Peyton Isley, and then a 6'3 right side from Illinois, Macy Wellborn. So we have a lot of experience on the court, and it's been fun to see the new pieces fit in.
The Eagle Challenge opens up at 11 a.m. on Friday, with MSU taking on the Evansville Purple Aces. The Moorhead State soccer team is continuing to work in preparation for their road trip this weekend. In some sure-to-be-difficult contests, MSU is heading to Michigan to face Central Michigan on Friday, followed by Eastern Michigan on Sunday. In the meantime, Coach Warren Lipka says the team is continuing to tighten their focus and address some nagging injuries.
Jenna Satters, a freshman out of Ohio, she was doing extremely well, and she's got a hip flexor issue. And so, you know, we're kind of in that early stage of getting through these first few games, but I know we have a big weekend coming up, you know, going up to Michigan and playing Central and Eastern Michigan, you know, 2 MAC schools that do very, very well in their conference.
Friday's game is set for 6 o'clock, with the contest Sunday set for 1 p.m. When Moorhead State returns to the gridiron this weekend, they'll be doing so with the largest senior class in the modern era. The Eagles finished with a winning record for their spring season, tying for a second-place finish in the Pioneer Football League. Head coach Rob Tenier says his staff and players are feeling the need to keep that momentum going and think those returning to the squad this season will get them there.
We've got almost 25 seniors. We've got a lot of game experience back. We've got some guys that are, you know, back from injury that maybe didn't participate in the spring. And we've got a lot of good depth, I think, especially on defense.
MSU will be heading to Virginia for their first game to face James Madison. Kickoff Saturday is set for 6 o'clock. And that's going to do it for sports this afternoon. For WMKY, I'm Keneally Roberts.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Ruth Hunt Candy Company, celebrating 100 years of business in 2021. Ruth Hunt's long-term success is proven by using fine ingredients and traditional methods in making their confections. Ruth Hunt is Kentucky proud with traditional candies, Woodford Reserve bourbon balls, and Blue Mondays, sweetening the distance between you and your loved ones. Ruth Hunt candies in Mount Sterling, Lexington, and anytime online at ruthhuntcandy.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The S&P 500 closed the first trading day of September near the flat line as the strength in technology shares faded while investors digested a disappointing employment report. And at the close, the Dow Industrials were actually down 48.2 at 35,312.53, while the S&P 500 did manage a small gain of 1.41, finishing at 4524.09, and the NASDAQ Composite, the strongest of the major indices, up 50 points at 50,309.38. Apple jumped as much as 2% to an all-time high, but at the close finished the day up about 0.5%. And U.S. companies did create far fewer jobs than expected in August, according to ADP, with private payrolls rising just 374,000. Going into the report, the estimate was for 600,000 jobs. And, of course, the ADP report is a precursor to the official August U.S. non-farm payrolls report, which will be released Friday. The economist poll going into the report expects 720,000 jobs were created for the month of August, and the unemployment rate fell to 5.2%. Among individual equities, solar stock Sunrun surged more than 6% after J.P. Morgan predicted a comeback that could take the shares 90% higher, and Zoom Video shares rebounded slightly following a 16% plunge yesterday after Kathy Wood of ARK Investments revealed she had bought nearly 200,000 shares on the dip. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was CSX up one penny at $32.54, PPL Energy up 69 cents at $30.04, Fifth Third Bank down 39 cents at $38.47. Marathon Petroleum down $2.02 at $57.25. Dollar General down 22 cents at $222.69. And App Harvest was up 9 cents to finish at $8.49. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Keneally Roberts, Lakin Hupp, Alyssa White, Ethan Jenkins, Hallie Adams, and Rachel Turner. WUKY's Josh James, the Hilliard Lions' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Sarah Mead. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Shamari Mosley and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.